Denver, it's you get the blessing.
Well, I'm not bragging, babe, so don't put me down. But I've got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something comes up to me,
did you have a little Deuce Coupe?
No, but I like this song. Let's leave it on for a while.
Good wake-up song.
We got Frank and Nancy trying to wake up. This will do it. Okay, we got to go on with the show. This is You Get the Blessing. We like to wake you up each Sunday morning if you're tuned in with a little strange music. So people have told me they love hearing Bob Belts. They love hearing the strange music, and they tolerate my part.
I've heard a lot of people just listen to music and then turn it off.
That too. Yeah. Well, I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts, and we are friends.
For a long time.
For a long time and forever, actually. You're stuck with me. It's like old Dan Hendrick and I, a friend of mine from college. We got in a fight one day at a golf course. He was mad about something. We came back to the room at Pinehurst, and I said, Dan, you're in bad shape here, pal, because we're rooming together all weekend, and you're stuck with me for life, so get over it. You can't hit me, and don't be mad at me. But we are glad you tuned in. You Get the Blessing is about introducing you to individuals that we think are wonderful folks impacting this community and this world for Christ and doing so many positive things in their lives that we hope their stories inspire you. And we have heard good reports from listeners just about all over the place when we're going about our business that say, we're tuned in, we know what you're doing, we appreciate it. I especially like this guy or that lady, or I hear it, don't you?
Yeah, it's fun. It's always fun when someone comes up and says, hey, we listened to your show this morning. So
believe it or not, there's thousands of people listening, primarily because it's KOA and Bob Belts, the smartest man in the world. But our guest today is Scott Thompson. Scott, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here.
We appreciate you taking time to be on our program, and I know your story is going to bless people. So let's just start by having you share a little bit about where you were born, where you were raised, what it was like growing up as a kid around your place.
Wow. Well, I will try not to bore you to tears with the whole story. I was actually born in Tucson, Arizona, moved to Southern Colorado when I was 2 or 3 years old and lived on a ranch down there. It was an awesome, awesome opportunity to just learn a little bit about life on the ranch. Once I hit school age, I moved up here to Denver and grew up here in Wheat Ridge, went to Wheat Ridge High School. That is where I actually became a Christian. And part of that story is that I became a Christian because of a beautiful girl.
Out of way.
And the beautiful girl invited me to Young Life, and I went to a few Young Life meetings, and we actually started dating. And about 3 or 4 months into this, she dumped me. And
This is a familiar story. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. But anyway, go ahead.
We've all got bits and pieces of this story in our own lives.
Yes. I was shocked. I mean, playing baseball, playing football, I thought I was quite a catch. And I chatted with her, and she said, well, you're not a Christian. And I was shocked. I mean, I was a pretty good guy and went to church. And so anyway, we quit dating. And a few months later, I came across a track that I had gotten at Young Life and kind of read through that. And I thought, this isn't that hard. I mean, I'm a good guy. I believe in God. So anyway, I didn't tell her for probably almost a year because I didn't want her to think that I wanted to date her so bad that I would become a Christian.
Okay, now I'm going to stop you for 1 second because a lot of times in our audience, people don't know what we're talking about when we use some of our language. So why don't you explain what happened and what you did after you read what was in that track that made sense, and then what did that lead to for you?
Well, that's a great question. In that track, it just walked me through a few Bible verses talking to me about grace and salvation and giving my life over to Jesus and living life for him. And for me, it was an awesome moment for me to realize that I could have total forgiveness of my sins for everything that I had ever done. And growing up in a house that was just a little bit stressful, with a functional alcoholic father and really not measuring up in a lot of cases. It turned out being a great thing because it makes me do a lot of things and work hard at a lot of things. But realizing that I could be forgiven of every bad thing that I ever did by believing and following Jesus was a real eye-opener for me, Bob.
Wow.
Great.
Now, what happened with the girl?
Fast forward about a year later. Interestingly enough, her father was my physician growing up. Her father did every one of my sports physicals. So anyway, I...
So you knew him intimately and knew her casually.
Excuse me. So I had gone in for... my blood pressure was a little high as a 18-year-old kid for some reason, and a little bit scary at the time. And somehow, maybe we didn't have the same HIPAA regulations back then, she found out about it at school. And she approached me and just asked her if everything was okay. And I said yes. And I said, by the way, we probably ought to get together maybe after school. And I went over to her house and I told her that I had actually become a Christian. And we drove up Sixth Canyon, Highway 58 up Sixth Canyon to a little waterfall up there. And she had a Bible with her, and we hiked up to the top of this waterfall, and we just sat and prayed and talked for a little bit. Long story short, this is now my wife of 29 years.
Wow.
That's great. I did the same thing. She still dumped me.
And I know her name, Sidna Bunting. No.
Bunton.
Bunton. Yeah. Was that her name?
Yeah.
I feel like I met this girl, but I never have.
I know.
So congratulations. That's wonderful. And this wife's name is?
Her name is Tracy.
Tracy. Tracy, way to go. Good choice and way to lead him into the kingdom.
Well, her family, Tracy and her family, had such a significant impact on so many lives, and certainly the rest of my family's life, my mom, now our children, my sister, just it's been a pervasive part of our life, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but it has been a fantastic journey. And Tracy's family started a ministry here called Inner City Health Center a little over 30 years ago. And so that was through the church that we were at, part of some fantastic preaching that we had, and also a relationship with the family. And through that relationship, that was really the very beginning as I look back at realizing that I have a love for pastors. And but all those pieces didn't fall together for 30 some years.
You know, it's interesting your story because I know we've all done this. We've all done things we wish we hadn't done, but I can remember specific things that I was asked to do or groups of friends that were heading off in one direction, and I had to think, well, wait a minute, that's not what I should be doing. And so I'm, even at CU, I'm sure I wasn't all that pure, as Bob's pointed out to me, but I can remember on Saturday nights thinking, well, I need to get to sleep because Dan Staley's picking me up at 9 in the morning. We're going to church to speak as a group of athletes or whatever. So rather than going on and having too many beers and too late at night, I would go the other direction. But that's what she did, what Tracy did, is what we're supposed to do with our lives, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, it's great that I actually am really grateful that I got dumped because it ended up leading me to meet Rich Beach, who I never would have met had he not been dating the old girlfriend. And really through Rich, that's how I came to know that that Jesus was real and I could have a relationship with him and came to faith. So I'm glad that you didn't get Wait, you got reconnected, and I'm glad I got dumped permanently. So anyway,
and I do think, you know, there's a fine line that we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. So we're supposed to be ministering with people that are pre-Christians, as Gail Coors calls them, and we're not supposed to be holier than anybody. We're just pilgrims on the journey. Yeah. But at some point, when you make a stand like she did, and and I've done it to say, you know, we can't be any closer than we are because these are the values I hold dear, and it's because of this, my relationship with Christ. So you kind of realize, okay, we can be friends, but we're not going to be good friends or best friends, and certainly not husband and wife. So interesting how that worked. Good for her and good for you.
Thank you. Well, it was a great stand for her to take. We actually dated long distance all through college. She went to a small Christian college in Oklahoma, and I stayed here and went to University of Denver. And once I graduated, actually the week after I graduated, we got married. A year later, we had our first baby girl, Heather. And Heather is now married to a wonderful Christian man and has our first grandchild, which is also awesome. And a little over a year ago, my son got married as well, and he has a great Christian bride as well. So
good family. And so tell us about Quiet Waters Ministries. You don't have to give all the background, but how you got to this point, but your love for pastors is something I share. I've done a little bit with a few pastors, but nothing like what you've done. So how did that begin?
Well, our mission at Quiet Waters is to renew, restore, and strengthen Christian leaders and their families. And Christian leaders are pastors and missionaries. The cornerstone of our program are Christ-centered counseling intensives that we hold out at our retreat center in Parker, Colorado. These are 1 and 2 week leadership intensives that have a preventative focus to the stresses that pastors and missionaries and those leaders face. We also provide hope and direction and renewal, restoration, when they have become overwhelmed through all the things that you all as pastors go through. There are, one of the Barna researches says that there are 16 different job titles that you all have as pastors. And for me, having one job title is difficult. But when you have to deal with all of the church issues and politics and taking out the trash and discipling and raising and counseling and
doing burying and marrying,
all of those things, well, which are awesome. It's wonderful.
All good, but just too many of them.
There's a lot of them, and some of them are tough. We deal with a lot of folks that come through Quiet Waters because they're burned out. They're stressed out. We deal with post-traumatic stress syndrome and empathy fatigue and compassion fatigue and things that you just wouldn't think have an easy job like Bob has to go through. But we have 7 licensed counselors that are just highly, highly trained and skilled at dealing with life circumstances and the things that get handed out.
Well, first of all, I admire what you're doing, because I can remember as a really young man, actually almost right when Bob and I became ministry partners, gee whiz,
1980.
Yeah. Thinking, you know, here's a guy that knows the Bible front to back. If I can just keep him up and running and happy, I've done something.
Because Bo had a unique way of doing that, though. Instead of like sending me to get counseling or something, if I was really stressed out, he said, why don't you go buy a belt? I don't know. It was just, you know, that was his solution. And then if it was, well, if I was really stressed out, that's when he would say, let's go to Las Vegas, which I, you know, couldn't quite figure out how that was going to be restorative. But anyway, I'm sure that you guys do a lot of different things.
Sitting along, listening to Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And drinking Diet Coke and going to bed at 10:30. That's what we did. But I do remember thinking that. Same thing with when Jim Dixon became partners with us and we started Cherry Hills Community Church, just thinking my job was to keep the leaders somewhat protected and happy and up and running and safe from some of the nonsense that was constantly being thrown at them. Not that they needed me or asked me.
No, I think that's not true. I think we really needed you. And I think that, you know, and that this ties into what I'm sure you're experiencing when you get a guy that comes in and is pretty burned out. There just aren't a lot of guys like Bo out there that, you know, actually sort of understood the stresses and pressures and had a heart for that. And of course, you've done that with those inner city guys too. I mean, throughout the years, trying to recognize that. But it's a weird profession, you know.
It is. I think it's one of the highest and most awesome callings that there is. It's also very difficult. I think you as pastors, Bob, have a larger than normal target on your back. You walk around and you've got Satan that is continually trying to take you down. And so I think that there are added pressures there. And one of the passages in the Bible that I like to talk about is 1 Timothy 3. And it talks about overseers. And overseers and elders in the church, I think verse 2 in there says something like, overseers, pastors, are to be above reproach. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to list many things. But one of the things that it doesn't say in there, it doesn't say that you are to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think as lay people in congregations, sometimes we don't understand that sometimes we place pastors on a pedestal and we hold you to a higher standard, but a much different standard. And sometimes it's an unreasonable standard.
You probably know the statistics on this, given what you guys do. But, you know, I recently heard that the average life expectancy in ministry of a guy going into full-time ministry was 3 years. That, which is just, you know, that's a really horrible statistic if you think about it. But that it's, you know, guys just generally speaking don't make it that long. So,
well, I have two statistics that I would love to share with you, Bob. One, this one is unbelievable to me.
Let me reintroduce you first. We're listening to the voice of our guest today, Scott Thompson of Quiet Waters Ministries, a ministry that reaches out to help Christian leaders, pastors, more specifically, and renew and restore and strengthen them. So keep going. I just wanted somebody just tuned in to catch up. So
thanks.
Give us these stats.
Well, let me give you two. The first statistic is that one in 20 pastors that starts in the ministry will finish in the ministry. 5%, one in 20. And this one is also really staggering to me. This is of 1,050 pastors that were surveyed by the Schaefer Institute. Every one of them, 100%, have a close associate or a friend from seminary who've left the ministry because of burnout, conflict in the church, or from a moral failure. 100%. And that's a really staggering statistic.
Give that one again.
100% of pastors have a close associate or a friend from seminary who has left the ministry because of burnout, conflict in the church, or moral failure.
Mm. You know, I have a theory, and it's probably right since most of my theories are. No, just kidding. I know friends that were in ministry. I mean, I'm one of those guys that knows people that have not made it the long journey. And one of the things I find is that I find sometimes I think guys that have moral failure, I don't think this is always the case, but I know in certain cases that guys that are so stressed out, you know, one of two things. One is you tend to drift toward what your weakness is anyway. All of us do when we're under, you know, just fatigue and stress, whatever. So if a guy already had, and think of all the weaknesses all of us have. But I just see that sometimes moral failure is the kind of like the presenting system. I mean, symptom, but underneath that is, you know, fatigue, stress, burnout, or wherever. The other thing is, I think some guys are so stressed, fatigued, and burned out and feel like they can't quit, that I think at some level they do things that get themselves fired simply almost as a survival, you know, tactic. But so I think those things are kind of interwoven oftentimes. But
they are. And 70% of pastors don't have a Bo Mitchell. They don't have a close friend or someone that they can confide in. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's another really difficult thing. I think men in general, sometimes we have an issue having close relationships with other men.
So in many ways, you'd say I was the single key to Bob's incredible success.
I've always felt like you and about two other guys actually were the reason for everything I've ever done.
Do you know what? I wrote this down today, not knowing where we would go on this topic, but I wrote down this quote from Abe Lincoln that says, "I am a success because I had a friend that believed in me and I didn't have the heart to let him down." So I do feel that about you, a few others, Phil, Dan, people I work with now at Crosswalk Fellowship. But it's interesting. I I've got a degree which Bob made me get from seminary. Not that I learned much, but I did get a degree in Christian leadership. And Bob says on occasion, about one out of every three times, I'm actually a pretty good speaker and preacher. But I've somehow known in my heart and soul, I can't do it. I could not pastor church. I'd much rather help a guy like Bob or Jim or a couple other guys that I've helped in town, because it is, you talk about a grind. It's like having a final exam over your head every week of your life, because you're always thinking about that next sermon you're going to prepare, if you care about it as much as you should, like Bob does. But it never goes away. And then all the counseling requests and, you know, it's, like I say, it's all good, but it's just too much.
Bo, what I tell people is that the Bob Belts of the world, pastors, they have a pastor's heart. We have a heart for pastors. Hmm. I can't do what you do. I'm not gifted to do that. But I love supporting you in doing what you do and your gifting.
Yeah, you know, I actually can't do what I do. seriously, I couldn't do what a lot of guys do that are kind of the one man band, you know, the guy that pastors small church, has no staff, has no help. To me, I think that's the hardest job. I mean, I've always been fortunate to be in a team kind of a setting. Actually, I spent 2 years in a church in Northern California where I didn't have a team that could, you know, fill in any areas where I'm, you know, weak. And I think most churches, at least the way that they're structured oftentimes, which I don't think is completely biblical, because biblically it seems like that, you know, that in the body of Christ, you know, God's given different guys different gifts, and there's no way that any one guy has the gifts to fulfill the 16 jobs you were talking about. And, you know, for me, having guys around me that, you know, that are gifted in areas I'm not, and having a team together makes all the difference in the world. But generally, there's 300,000 churches roughly in America. 150,000 of those are under 100 members, which means that most of those are probably being run by a one man, you know, trying to do all of that. And and I don't think that's the way God intended it. So
many times that single pastor that's pastoring a church of 75 or 80 people is a bivocational pastor as well. Mm-hmm. So he has a real job, in not that being a pastor isn't a real job, but he has two jobs. He has his mm-hmm. his job that he does every day to try and earn an income for his family, and he may be pastoring his church just out of his time, and that makes it even more difficult.
You know, another kind of interesting statistic, because you bring this up, the conflict piece. I've heard that most guys leave the church or leave their jobs because of 10 people in the congregation. You know, that there are just a small percentage of people that can really make a pastor's life miserable. And are you finding, you know, in terms of conflict in the church? And by the way, I think if you're listening and you're not a pastor, you know, be nice to yours. That would be my encouragement, because again, there's always a few critics out there that, you know, nothing you do. And I got to say, it's interesting. I was just telling someone yesterday that at Highline, for some reason, and I better knock on wood, we have such a positive and upbeat group of people that I just don't get the kind of flack that I think a lot of guys get, or that I got in the past, honestly. So.
A few weeks ago, Bob, I was able to do a presentation, and I titled this presentation, Burned Out, Blown Up, and Beat Down. Your pastor is not coming back.
Oh.
And 15 to 1,800 churches a month hear that. Your pastor is not coming back. And a lot of times it is because of conflict in the church. It's because of those one or two or three or five people.
So say those three things again.
Burned out.
Blown up.
Blown up and beat down.
Beat down.
And a lot of that beat down and burned out piece does come from conflict in the church. Mm-hmm. And if we look at a model of biblical conflict resolution and grace and mercy, that does not necessarily happen.
With only a couple minutes left, how can pastors sign up for one of your retreats? Let's give them that information. And do we need money? Can people send money and send other pastors to get this time of refreshment?
That would be absolutely awesome. One of the things that we need for our entire ministry that we cover on a daily basis, we have about 100 volunteers and another couple hundred of prayer partners. And those prayer partners cover all the people that come to our retreat, all of our staff that are out there. We fund about half of our ministry through fees that we charge for service, and the other half are through donations. And so people can go to our website at www.qwaters.org.
Qwaters.com.org. .org, sorry. Qwaters.org. Quiet Waters, but Qwaters.org.
We do have a donate button up there on the right-hand side, and we have more information on our leadership intensives. If pastors want to get in touch with us, they can do that via phone with us, or they can put a request in through the website.
Every organization rises and falls on leadership. Maybe no better example of that than the churches that we're all so blessed by. So great job with what you founded and what you're doing. Give all the information again. We need some money. One of y'all listening, stop and give $5,000 today. Okay, 500 if that's all you got.
And never mind.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes, www.qwaters.org. Love to have any support that you can send our direction via prayer or dollars. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show, Scott. Blessings.